The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Good morning. It is a good morning. It's great to have you here, to be in partnership with you as we walk in faith together, as we heard in our last song. My name is Reed. I get to be one of the pastors. I think Rolly hopefully introduced me before, but I'm going to do it anyway. I was having a talk outside. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Today I want to talk about specific ministry and what that means in partnerships. A couple of weeks ago, as we've been journeying through the book of Acts and how the book of Acts specifically relates not only to the first century, but to the 21st century. 2 weeks ago, we had a dynamic duo of women speaking about how prayer ministry has changed their life. Last week, I got to partner with Graham, wherever he is, to talk about the healing ministry. There he is right there. To talk about how his own experience of healing in his life and the miraculous nature of how God moves even today has given him a second chance to share his faith in the midst of the assembly. So thank you very much for that last week. Today, I want to talk about partnerships in the way that God calls us all into partnerships in sharing the faith, and specifically by using the names of two people that we can hear six times in the New Testament, Priscilla and Aquila. Sometimes Aquila comes first, but I think Paul is trying to let us know that there's no hierarchy in the relationship, that both Priscilla and her husband are in this together as they work together in ministry. So what do we know about Priscilla and Aquila? We notice that even in the beginning of our scripture reading today, that Priscilla and Aquila were Jews from Rome. And there's a letter to Rome written a little bit later where Paul, in Romans 16, if you have your Bibles with you, you sure can open up to Romans 16. Paul is writing and he says, to commend to you our sister Phoebe. And as soon as Phoebe is talked about, then he gets to this amazing couple called Priscilla and Aquila. And he says this, Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers or partners in Christ. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them. I don't ever remember, as reading through Romans, about hearing about Priscilla and Aquila and what was this risking of their lives for Paul. I think sometimes we have this misunderstanding about partnerships in ministry that somehow it has to be up front or it has to be very visible. But a partnership in ministry can often be behind the scenes. It can be almost a sense that we don't have to be heard from. In front of people, it can be so subtle that people don't even realize how Christ is moving in the midst. This partnership idea comes from the very beginning of time when Adam is created from the dust, from the dirt. And he's given an opportunity to be in partnership because no one God makes to be alone. And so he gives him Eve. And what is Eve's title in that relationship? I want to create a partner for you, right? Tell me, what does a partner do? What's the job description? Walk alongside. So there's movement. What else? Support. Love. Anything else? Work together. Sharing. That's right. So sharing in all of life together. Correct? Partnership in the joys and the sorrows, that's true partnership. And so what we have in Priscilla and Aquila is this partnership that they're willing to even risk their lives. So the background is this: these two people, this married couple from Rome, are ejected from Rome and they're sent to Corinth and they stay there for 18 months. And did you hear from that scripture reading today? What was their job? What were their jobs? What did they do for a living? Tent makers. Just like Paul was. So it's not just this dynamic duo, it's a dynamic trio who are making tents, and all of you love to stay in tents, right? Has everyone stayed in a tent before? Some are shaking their heads. Good for you. So they're tent makers. That's their trade by day. And it seems that in the midst of this trade by day that they have another opportunity where God calls them to specific ministry, but it's not in front. They're given the opportunity in Ephesus to set up their tent making in the midst of a community, a very unbelieving community. And their job is to be behind the scenes. But Jesus, I think God calls us all to be in partnership and ministry together and sends us out. In the book of Luke chapter 10, if you want to go there with me, Luke chapter 10. Jesus sends out a group of people to, a group of disciples. Do you remember how many there were? 72, 36 sets. That's right. We're not told what makes up those partnerships, those 36 partnerships. They could have been married couples. We don't know. They could have been brother and sister. They could have been disciples, brother and brother, sister and sister. We're not told, but we're just told that 36 sets of partners were sent out. And what was their gift, their role, their opportunity? What were they supposed to be doing? Great. I'll help you. Their task. And I always think, well, they're supposed to be sent out to heal diseases. They're supposed to be sent out to heal the sick, cast out demons. Yes, that was some of it. But listen to this in chapter 10, verse 5. They're supposed to go to the houses. When you enter a house, the first thing you do is bring peace. That's their first task, is to be peaceful. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace is going to stay. If not, it will return to you. Their second one is to stay and eat and drink with them. That's their second task. We all like to do that, right? I hope so. It's better than staying in tents. Don't move around from house to house. So where God sends you, go. Where God tells you to stay put, stay put. And then, when you are in ministry there together, as you stay in partnership with those people you're staying with, then you get down to brass tacks. Speak the gospel. Use your words. And then we get this amazing thing as the 72 return to Jesus. They say this in verse 12. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us. So they've been doing some hard work also in that area. The demons rejoice. And Jesus says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes, scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And then he says this, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice because of your own power. Rejoice because God's power has written your name in heaven. And it doesn't have to necessarily be up front. Today, I'd like to bring up front with is my own partner in ministry, or one of them, not this one, but that one, my wife Christine. And we'd like to share a little bit. I've asked people to do testimonies in the last couple of weeks. This is in some ways is a little awkward for me to ask questions of my wife because I already know the answers. But just for a moment to share our own testimonies about what it's like for us to be in partnership. So just as we start, Priscilla and Aquila in Acts chapter 18, if you remember, they encounter this man named Apollos, don't they? He was a learned man with thorough knowledge of the scripture. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor. He taught about Jesus accurately. So we get this understanding that he teaches about Jesus, but we don't know if he actually knows everything about what it means to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. So it would have been very easy, I think, for Priscilla and Aquila to stand up in the middle of the church and say, excuse me, Apollos, you've got it wrong. I'm just waiting for you guys to do that to me sometime. And they could have stood up because they know the way accurately. Merv's going to do it now. They could have done it. Because they knew the way accurately, but what did they do? They promoted peace first. They don't do it publicly, but they take him to their house. Perhaps they share a meal together. And when they've explained the way of Jesus Christ about relationships and how God is always about relationships, Then they rejoice and send him on their way with rejoicing, which leads us to somewhat of how we met and the ministry of being on the move and going where God has called us. Good morning. It's great to have you here.
Oh, it's lovely to see you. Thanks for having me.
Christine, you and I met in probably a different way than many of these people, and that was a different ministry. Why don't you tell, if you could, Mrs. Mathias, tell everyone, perhaps a little bit about our ministry, how we met, and how that has shaped some of what we do.
Yes, so I was a teacher here in Australia, in Queensland, and wanted to travel and wanted to sing, and actually didn't have the US in radar, but clearly God did. And so Reed and I ended up on a team together, a traveling ministry band of seven people, and all you had to do was get to Minneapolis. So that was a 28-hour, or 32, I think, for me and 2 hours for him. So I flew over, and so we would travel around, and the main thing we would do is our music. And so I went over to be the lead singer, and he was the bass player. And I remember meeting him and saying, "How long have you been playing bass?" And he goes, "Oh, I just bought one." And I went, "Wow, this is going to be really fun." But as it turned out, he's a phenomenal musician and can play multiple instruments. Much to my demise, I can't. And so we each had a role. We each had a skill that we brought to do ministry. So the main part was music, but we also used to do puppets and drama and sharing. And then every night, the seven of us would be split in multiple different ways, either by ourselves or two by two, sometimes the four girls, sometimes the three guys. And we would go into people's homes. And that was our, probably the biggest ministry we did every night. We were in somebody's home and they were sharing with us. So besides the music skill, we also had to come up with another gift because we travelled for 17 months in the Midwest, East Coast of the US, and then 5 months in Germany and Denmark. So we had to learn how to get along really well. So when you see the best and worst of each other and you still have to work together, you figure out each other's gifts and you encourage each other. And so he took on the finance and the money, and I took on all the organising.
That's good. So one of the things as we traveled around is each place that we play, whether two or three concerts a day for 17 months. Christine, tell us a little bit about, so we had to share, or we had to give perhaps a little bit of our own testimonies. Share a little bit about what that was like.
So our lead guitarist had had a life-changing experience, so much so that he was literally on his deathbed for doing something very silly, and told God, I'll do everything for you from here on. Save me. So he did that testimony and people are crying and I'm sitting here thinking, I have never had some kind of lightning bolt change like that. And it took a long time for me to feel confident that I have a testimony. And my testimony is that I was very blessed with a wonderful family who took me to church. And we didn't have a youth group. We had this big intergenerational church. And so I had this huge family that encouraged me in my gifts. And I guess with my parents, fantastic mentors, always really involved. It wasn't ever really a choice of whether we would serve in our church and use our gifts. It was just what and how. So they encouraged me because I love to sing, and I have some amazing mentors back in Redcliffe in Queensland, Mari and Steve Meagle, who encouraged me. So I was on my first worship committee at the age of 15. I brought the age of the choir down by 40 years, and then we ended up in the band. So
talk a little bit about, if you will, you know, in our partnership, sometimes it can be a public ministry, but most of our ministry, I think, is done outside of this place, more in hospitality. But talk about the modeling of perhaps what your parents did when you were younger.
So besides what they would do with and for the church, there were seven of us. So there's five kids and mum and dad, and we all love to eat. And my mom's an amazing cook, and they were both in leadership, and they were principals and directors of schools. And a lot of times, probably from what they had seen growing up, we would always have somebody at our house for a meal. Mom just cooked a little bit extra and told my brothers not to eat as much. And Yeah, so we would always be sharing a meal with someone, and it took work away, and it just became a relationship, and you got to talk about mm-hmm. life together. And so I guess from that mentoring, thankfully I learned how to cook, even though it took a while for my white sauce. But then...
Don't go there.
Yeah. But then Reed also has an amazing family. Both his parents are incredible cooks. And everyone takes pity on him when I go away and, you know, invite him for a meal. And then he goes away and I said, he does most of the cooking. But we love to cook, so we love to open our house and share meals.
That's right. And so we do some of that together. Now, each one of us has gifts and skills, and that's some of what network that we're doing in August is to encounter what our gifts and skills are and how we can serve in partnership together. It also tells us probably... And we know what our gifts are not. I don't think God puts us in places or hopefully tries not to put us in places where we're not comfortable because we don't have those gifts. Can you share with us one story where the expectations of a pastor's wife or were not your gift?
I don't play organ and I don't teach Sunday school. Apparently they're the top two. So I fail miserably right from the start. I'm very outspoken, rather assertive. But that's okay. I have moved 28 times in my life, and so we are constantly moving with my family, but also together in ministry. So we always have this family wherever we go. A lot of people say, how can you move that many times? But wherever we go, we have a family. But what's interesting is when you keep moving, then you recreate every time. So you restart all the time, even though you end up with this fantastic family, they have to get to know you. So on our first ministry, we went to our church, Reed's first pastoring ministry, and they knew that we were musical, they knew that we could sing, and so I had a lady who came up to me and she said, oh, just wanted to let you know, we have this bell choir. Now, a bell choir is, it's a bit of an American European thing. I'm not sure I've ever seen one except for a German culture, possibly in Australia. But these are giant brass bells down to the little mini bells. You all line up in a big line and they have white gloves and they play the bells. And I'm thinking, that's really not me. But so I said, oh, that's lovely. She goes, oh, you should join. It's really easy. That's really lovely. But I mean, I love to sing. I think I'll probably get into the band. Oh, you don't have to read music. That's okay. She goes, no, really. So I don't do bells. Okay, I'm sorry. In the end, we ended up becoming quite good friends, and she goes, I still remember the way we met. And I went, yes, so do I.
So bells wasn't your gift, but our gift together now as we enjoy working with young people is probably hospitality and probably mentoring. Share maybe a little bit about how God is using that non-public ministry.
Yes, so... I was always blessed with some wonderful people mentoring me, including my parents. I'm a conversationalist. I really don't like being up the front here. He's the preacher, I'm the organizer. And he'll come home and say, you know, we'll start talking and he'll ask me if I have my 10,000 words done yet. But what was the question?
Talk about our mentoring ministry in 25
yes.
words or less.
So, but yes, that's right. I do. Christine in 25 words or less. If you ask me a question, just say that. I'd like Christine in 25 words or less. Yes. So we've done youth and camping ministry pretty much our whole ministry lives. So we just love hanging out with kids and young adults and being able to be mentoring. It's a wonderful two-way street. I think no matter what age you are, you can be a mentor to the people older than you and to the people younger than you. So I think because of the relationships that we build when we do ministry together and especially go on camps, we just love having those conversations and relationships. And you know what? Everyone loves to eat. And I haven't had anybody say, walk away from our house going, yeah, we don't want to come again. They generally say, all right, can we get the next date in?
That's good.
So it's
a beautiful way that we get to do and partner in ministry together. And all of you who have gifts, whether married, whether brother, sister, however that partnership works, God puts us together in those relationships. But the beauty is, I think, that as we move forward from this place, thinking about Priscilla and Aquila, is the fact that it doesn't take as much work to bring peace. It takes no effort at all to eat with someone else. It shouldn't take much effort to rejoice that God is moving in people's lives. And as we are sent out, wouldn't it be great if we could be sent out with the true love of God leading forth from us? So God bless you on your ministries. Thank you very much today for sharing your life with me. But also in the midst, God bless you on your partnerships as you share God's love. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities to be sent out. At times it feels as if we have no idea what you're trying to do with us, but you use the gifts that you've given us that we might be instruments in this world. So as we are sent, help us to go with great joy. As we are placed, help us to stay put and take our time. But truly, let us rejoice that you have written our names in the book of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.